Who's taken to the hospital this morning is having trouble breathing. How old is he? He's one. Let's pray for him right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for Lucas. I pray that his breathing be restored. He's 1 year old, Jesus. He needs the breath. He needs your breath. And so we pray in your name that he be healed. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I think that praying is about the best thing we can do. And that's why I want to talk to you today about there's no recovery without prayer. Or at least no lasting recovery, that's for certain. I want to take you through some scriptures and give you some examples of what happens when you add prayer to the recovery process. And the reason why is because the recovering process is not going to work without prayer. I do want to add this praise report. I got up there and I forgot. Conga boy got married last night. He got married last night. And so he's not with us today. He's on his way to Charleston. Yeah, he's a... So I want to give you some examples of why there's no recovery without prayer. And we're going to look at the first example coming out of the Old Testament. I really want you to kind of listen to me today, because when we wind up here, I'm kind of pointing the direction where we're going to continue to go as a church. I'm real excited about it. It's one that we haven't wavered none, but maybe we've become comfortable. And I don't want us to become comfortable. And I don't think he wants us to become comfortable. So the first examples back in the Old Testament is when the Israelites got impatient and rebellious with God. You know, we've talked about it before. There was a 40-year delay on the Israelites getting into the Promised Land when they were in Egypt. They just kind of wandered out in the desert. And it was their own fault. God gave them like 7 tests when they were out there. And every time he failed them, or every time they failed the test, God was like, you know, take another lap. And so what should have taken months took them 40 years to get through. They just weren't ready for the Promised Land. They kept failing the test. And I wonder if that sounds like us sometimes. We're just not ready for the Promised Land that God has offered us sometimes. And at one point, they got really, really impatient. The Bible says they started murmuring. You ever started murmuring? You ever got impatient and started murmuring? Yeah, I've seen you murmur. So I know you have. And they started rebelling against God and Moses. And God had to punish them for it. And they never would have recovered. They would have died in the desert if it wasn't for prayer. I'm telling you, they would have. Prayer is important. In the first verse, Numbers 21, says this: "Then the people grew impatient on the way, and they began to murmur and complain against God and Moses. 'Why did you lead us here?'" You ever been there? "Why are you leading me here, God? Why are we here?" Then it says, "We hate where we are." I hear this a lot. "I hate my job. I hate where I live. I hate all of this." And so they were doing the same thing. That's a big murmuring right there. And it says, and then they even said, "We hate the food. We hate the food." At this point, God had given food every day. They called it manna. And it was the same thing every day. You know, but they hated it. They didn't have to do anything for it. They just had to go gather in the mornings. Pretty nice. They used to go pick it, fall out. They'd go pick it up on the ground. They would have like, I got to thinking, they would have like, in the morning for breakfast, they'd have like manna oatmeal. Then at lunch, they'd have like manna toast. At supper, they'd have manicotti. See? Murmur. Y'all didn't like that as well as I did you? I'm still going to use it in 11. Where are we at here? So they were murmuring. It says, "So God sent poisonous snakes to punish them, and many became sick and died from the bites. Then the people confessed, "We have sinned. Pray for us." So Moses prayed for them. Then God told Moses to make a bronze staff, and when those who had been bitten looked in faith to Moses' staff, they're what? Recovered. Recovered. So they'd grown impatient along the way, but they knew the solution. They knew the solution was through prayer. And so they did that and then recover. Well, here's the point I want to make here. I want you to fill in this blank here. With prayer, we can recover from problems that we cause by our own impatience. Through prayer, we can recover from those problems that we cause by our own impatience. Most of the problems that we have in our culture and in our lives and in our relationships is caused by our inability to wait. We don't want to wait. I believe the biggest problem in America is that we don't have the ability to delay gratification. We just can't do it. We want it, and we want it now, even if we have to charge it. Even if we want to have to go into debt for it. You know, we get into all kinds of relationships. We'll get away from money, but we get into relationships because we want it, and we want it now. We want a boyfriend now. We want a girlfriend now. We want to have sex now. And so we don't want to delay gratification. We want it now. We don't want to have to wait. Anytime I've ever gotten in a hurry in my life or taken shortcuts, it's usually because of a temptation. And it's just a temptation. And what I found out in 56 years is God ain't never in a hurry. He ain't never in a hurry. Not one example in the Bible will you see Jesus running. He ain't running. Remember, his best friend died. He wasn't but a mile and a half away. Took him 3 days to get there. Jesus never ran. God ain't in a hurry with our growth either. Our spiritual growth. So you and I, sometimes we just need to relax. We just need to kind of chill. And so with prayer, we need to chill and pray. Because when we pray, we can recover from problems caused by our own impatience. Now, second example is this. When Jeroboam was upset and hearing this hard truth. You get mad sometimes when we hear a hard truth, don't you? The truth will set you free after it makes you mad. That's the way it is. But King Jeroboam didn't want to hear bad news. You don't want to hear bad news either, do you? I don't like to hear bad news. And so, has this ever been true of you? You don't want to hear bad news? Nobody woke up this morning and said, "Well, I hope I hear some bad news." And so he didn't want to hear it either. And he didn't even want to hear the truth, to be honest with you, and about his problems. And especially about the truth about the problems that he was facing that was because of what he'd been doing. And neither do me and you. So God sent this man of God to tell him the truth. So he tells Jeroboam, he says, "You're not going to like it. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, you're not going to like it. But here's the truth." Jeroboam got so mad, he flew into a rage. I mean, a rage. He doesn't want to hear this hard truth about himself. Look what happened, 1 Kings, where we at? So King Jeroboam stretched out his hand in anger against the man of God who had told him the truth, and it instantly became paralyzed. Boy, stroked on him. The king cried out, "Pray for me." So the man of God prayed to the Lord, and the king recovered the normal use of his hand. You see, this truth instantly bound him up. It instantly paralyze him. And he cries out, says, pray for me. And the man of God prayed for him, and he recovered. I want you to take that word, recovered, normal use of his hand. Write this in here. With prayer, we can recover when we're paralyzed by our emotions. Woo! Have you ever been paralyzed by your emotions? You know you have. You ever been, but not just from problems that we cause by ourselves. Prayer can free us and from being paralyzed by our emotions. You ever been paralyzed by grief? What about that? You have? You ever been paralyzed by anger? You ever been paralyzed by lust? You ever been paralyzed by fear? Guilt? Shame? Prayer helps recovery. It helps us to recover. Through prayer, you can recover the normal use of your emotions. Third example is this. I got six of them, so I got to go through quick. When Hezekiah was told he'd never recover, this is the third example. Hezekiah, I mean, as a king, most of his life, he did the right thing. He's about 25 years old when he took over as king, and he did the right thing. He cleared out all the sherah poles, and he cleaned up the temples, and he did most of the right things. But up in years, he got a terminal disease. He got a terminal disease, and let's look what happens in 2 Kings. In those days, King Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. Isaiah the prophet went to him and says, the Lord says, put your house in order. Put your house in order because you are going to die. You are not going to recover. Isaiah didn't mince words. Put your house in order. You're going to die. You're not going to recover. But, is what I like. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed, pleading to the Lord. Remember, Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully with wholehearted devotion, and I've done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept loudly as he prayed. Then before Isaiah had even left the king's court, God's word came to him again, says, go back and tell Hezekiah, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, you will recover and I will heal you. I'm even going to add 15 years to your life. And I'm going to deliver you and this city from Assyria's domination. So Hezekiah, what? Recovered. Recover. I like, he recovered. He recovered. That's the power of prayer. He said, put your house in order. You're going to die. You're going to die. But what Hezekiah do? He turned from that. He was beating on heaven's door and he passionately prayed. And God heard him. And he saw his tears. He said, Isaiah, get back in there. You go tell him he will recover. That's powerful. Look at the next verse, Isaiah 38. After Hezekiah's recovery, he wrote a prayer of praise. I would too. You restored my health and I am fully recovered with a what? Fresh infusion of life. Man, I'm telling you, I've been recovered from so much, and I think that's what I've got a fresh infusion. That's what I want every day. Fresh infusion. But it was good for me. Listen to this. But it was good for me to go through all those troubles because throughout them all, you held me tight to my life. You never let me tumble over the edge into nothing. But listen to this. But my sins you did let go of. You didn't let go of me, but you let go of my sins. I like that. You threw them behind your back. They behind your back. Never let me go, but you let go of my sins. Write this down here. With prayer, we can recover even when other people tell us that it will never happen. We can recover even when other people tell us it will never happen through prayer. It will. Somebody ever told you wasn't going to change? Somebody ever told you that you would never recover? How many people have you told that? I mean, a man of God told this. You know what Hezekiah did? He said, I'm getting a second opinion. And he turned to God for that second opinion. And he pleads, he said, and passionately. He's even gutsy, man. I love his gutsy. He said, look what I've done. I've served you. I've done the right things. I want to serve you some more. And God says, okie dokie. I'm going to give you 15 more years to serve me. I like a second opinion. I want you to write this down. This is what I tell my kids, my Luke and Sarah. Stop listening to what other people say and start praying. Stop listening to what other people say and start praying. Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm a living testimony, just like y'all. God specializes in change. He specializes in change. Fourth example. I could just stay on Hezekiah all day long. When two blind men cried out, I want to talk about them to Jesus. When two blind men cried out to Jesus, these guys wanted recovery. Matthew 20, the top of your backside of your paper. And I got to made a mistake in this when I wrote it. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside when they heard that Jesus was passing by. So they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us. And the crowd rebuked them. You ever heard that full cry out to Jesus and people around the world say, shut up. Telling them to be silent. But they prayed even louder. They got an attitude like me. Tell me to be quiet, I'm going to get louder. Said, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and said, what do you want me to do for you? They said, we don't want to be blind anymore. He's like, duh. He says, give us sight. Right here, it should be with deep compassion, not deep conversation. Maybe I really need to point out how deeply compassionately Jesus loves you. With deep compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Old Paxton, and it says, immediately they what? Yeah! You're catching it. Recovered their sight, and they what? Followed him. They followed him. This is passion. When these guys were talking to Jesus, they were passionate about it. When you and I are talking to Jesus, and that's what prayer is, we need to be passionate for it. And I could just hear him say, Jim, what do you want me to do for you? I want to see. I want my sight. And they received their sight, and they followed him. So guys, once you're recovered, you need to follow him. Yeah. This is what that's teaching us. There's a pattern here. Write this down. Here's the point to this. With prayer, we can recover our vision and see things that we've never seen before. Yeah. We get a new perspective with prayer. And that ain't going to happen in your life. You're not going to see new things. You're not going to have a new perspective without prayer. Without prayer. That's where we recover our vision. That's where we recover our perspective. I'm telling you, you look at your friends differently. You look at your spouse differently. You want a new boyfriend? Pray. He'll turn that old one into something different. I tell you guys, when I'm locked into a hurt, or when I'm locked into a habit, a hang-up, or some kind of pattern of thinking, or even a way of living, or I got a bad attitude, and I'll be honest with you, when I'm stuck in some sort of relationship with somebody that I don't really want to hang around with, I need to pray. And my perspective will be given back to me, a God perspective. I can look at them with His eyes. I'm telling you guys, when we prayer makes us see things we ain't never seen before. And the thing about prayer, I love it because that's why I like Celebrate Recovery here on Monday nights, is because you won't find prayer in any secular program, but you will here, and prayer is the key to recovery. Fifth example, I want to get to Peter. I like Peter. I like Peter because he's a lot like me. We want to talk about his very, very public failure. He had a massive public failure. Peter had the same disease I got. I got this disease called the foot in mouth disease. And Peter had the foot in mouth disease. He reminds me of me. We're impulsive. We don't even think about sometimes before we act. I do it a lot. I just act, don't even think about it. Dude cut off the ear of a soldier. Jesus told us to don't do that, and Peter cut his ear off. Jesus walking on the water, Peter thought he could too. He steps off in the water. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me? No, I'm not, Lord. I'm right here with you. I'm going wherever you go. You know, we don't even think about it. Luke 22, where am I at? Luke 22. Predicting Peter's fall. Jesus knew he would. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you just as wheat is sifted. Oh, but I love this. He says, but I have prayed for you. So that your faith may not fail. And when you have what? Not if you recovered. When you recover. It will be your job to strengthen your brothers. When, not if, you have recovered. Jesus knew already that he was going to fall. He knows that you and I are going to fall. But he also knows that we will what? Recover. We will recover. When, not if. What I love about this is telling me, it's reminding me, and it's telling you, he is praying for you right now. In heaven, he is praying for you right now. He says, when you recover, when you recover. I've been to so many people, and some of you I've heard said it, and if I'm making fun of you, that's all right. I want to tell you something. Prayer isn't the last resort. It's the first choice. Sometimes, I mean, I've heard people all the time when people find out they got cancer, and they say, all we can do now is pray. I'm thinking, has it come to that? Guys, prayer is the first choice, not the last resort. He says, Peter, I prayed for you already. I prayed for you. I know you're going to fall. I know you're going to mess up. But when you do, you will recover. And when you recover, your job is to help your brothers. Guys, when you fall, and you're going to fall, you're going to mess up, don't waste your pain. You didn't go through that just so you could learn something for yourself. It ain't about you. You went through those troubles, but because you need to help somebody else. Now your job is to help your brother. Write this down. This is the point. With prayer, we can recover and use our failures to help others. You can use them to help other people. No matter what happened in your life. Last one. I want to look at Job. Job's the man. Nobody had to recover more than Job. No one in this room had to recover more than Job. He had the greatest testimony. We ought to get Job to testify every Monday night. And every Sunday. But now Job had three friends. He had three friends, and they did some good things. They did some bad things. Now, the Bible tells us that Job lost everything. Now, but he had his wife, but she nagged him. She said, Job, look, honey, just curse God and die. Job said, thank you, sweetheart. That was so supportive of you. Now, before you ladies get on to me, I just like to cut up a little bit, but she did tell him to curse God and die. And I would say, thank you, sweetheart. But his three friends, they showed up. You know, they sat for a week with him and didn't say nothing. They sat for a week and didn't say nothing. Now, that's smart. Really. I mean, his friends were real friends until they opened their mouth. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They were real friends until they opened their mouth. I want you to write this down because I want you to remember this. Now, I try to teach my kids this. the deeper the pain, the fewer words you use. The deeper the pain, the fewer words you use. You know, if somebody's having a bad day, you talk to them for 30 minutes. But if they've lost a loved one, or if they've gone bankrupt or something serious, just show up and shut up. Just show up and shut up. It's a ministry of presence. Just be there. You see, they don't need our words. They need our skin. They need our presence. They don't need a sermon. So Job's friends, they did good for a week. They just sat there. But after a while, they thought they had it all figured out. So they started telling Job it was all his fault, that he was getting paid back for all the sins. All his sins caused all this stuff. And they gave him all these reasons and theology. And I'm going to tell you, God didn't like that. And let's pick up right here where he got on to them. After the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he talked to Job, straightened everything out with him. He said to Eliphaz, Eliphaz was one of these three friends, if God ever tells you this, you know you messed up. I'm angry with you and your two friends. Yeah. Oh, gosh. He said, because you didn't speak the truth about me. That ain't why these things happened. It's because Job's sins were counted against him. He said, you didn't speak the truth about me the way my servant Job did. Now I want you to make a sacrifice, and Job will pray for you. Take that, man. The guy that lost everything, now he's going to pray for them. Then I will answer his prayer and not disgrace you the way you deserve. So Job's three friends did what the Lord told them to do. I would have too. And the Lord answered Job's prayer. Then when Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored Job's health. I want you to catch something there. His health and his prosperity had not been restored yet. After he prayed for his friends. Then it says, Job what? Recovered twice as much as he had before. Recovered twice as much. He said, Job. He got Job to pray for them, and Job was in the middle of a crisis. And when he did, he restored his health and his prosperity. He recovered twice as much. You see, Job didn't experience recovery when he prayed for himself. He experienced recovery when he prayed for others. When he prayed for others. Write this down. Our recovery is only complete when we can pray for the recovery of others. That's when it's complete. Do you see how close that one of the points I'm really trying to make here is how close prayer and recovery are combined? I mean, they're married together. You can't have true recovery without prayer. So I want to ask you today, what have you lost? What have you lost? Are you in a mess right now? In a financial, in a relational, are you in a mess? I want to tell you today that God is a God of recovery. He's a God of recovery. And this is where I want to lay out the groundwork for where North Point is going. Where I'm going to lead you, where the elders are going to lead you, it's our heart. Jesus Christ has been on a search and recovery mission to seek and to save which is lost. To recover. To recover. I get asked every once in a while, mostly from people from another church, that says, why does North Point keep growing? Why do you want to grow? Jim. So I have to think on that a lot. I like to ride around sometimes in the country. I go by myself because Angie don't like to ride around without a place to go. So I like to just ride, and I wonder when I do. And I pass by these little churches sometimes. And I wonder sometimes, man, I wonder what it'd be like. I wonder sometimes, I think I'd like to pastor a small church. Not that I don't, it's just mostly when I'm mad at y'all. No, it's actually when I thought, you know, I'd know everybody's name. I would know everyone. And I would know their children and grandchildren. I'd even know their pets. That would be kind of neat to do that. Then I remember the calling that God gave us. Our calling is we grow because people without Christ go to hell. We grow and we want to grow, not out of anything else, but only because people without Christ go to hell. We grow because people need the Lord. They need the Lord. So I want to tell you, as Pastor North Point Church, as long as there's one person within driving distance, we will reach out. And as long as there's one person that needs recovery, and that's everybody, that's everybody, we're going to keep growing. Because here's what I know. God wants his lost children found. He wants his lost children found. I want to tell you about Jesus' first recorded sermon. It was in his hometown. It's recorded in the book of Luke. He actually read from the scroll out of the book of Isaiah. And here it is at the bottom, Luke 4:18. He announced his mission on earth. And guys, this is our mission. God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the good news to the poor. Jesus loved the poor. To announce freedom to those held captive. To give recovery of sight to the blind. To set the burdened and the battered free. To proclaim that this is the time of God's favor. It goes on in Isaiah 61. And to heal the brokenhearted. To comfort all who mourn. And to give beauty for ashes and joy and gladness instead of grief. Then they will rebuild. Underline, rebuild. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. And then they will restore the devastated places. And they will renew cities. God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the good news to the poor, to announce freedom to those held captive, to give recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and the battered free, to proclaim that this is the time of God's favor, and to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, and to give beauty for ashes and joy and gladness instead of grief. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will restore the devastated places. And they will renew the ruined cities. This is our mission at North Point Church. If you are committed to North Point Church, you are a rebuilder. You are a restorer. And you are a renewer. You get that? Amen. That's where we're going, guys. That's where we're going. That's what we are. You are commissioned. You're commissioned. So I want to tell you, we're going to grow. Because there's still people out there that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There's still people out there that need recovery. There's still folks out there that need the Lord. And as long as they are, we're going after them. And why? Because the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, he came to seek and save that which was lost. God wants his lost children in a family. And we're going to look funny. We're going to look different. We're going to be in all shapes and sizes. we're coming after him. We're coming after him. And I'm renewed. I'm renewed. Are you renewed?
Amen.
I hope so. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for prayer. And I thank you that we're at the right place to pray together. And so, Lord, there's some folks here that they didn't want to hear the hard truth. I pray that they will answer you in prayer, that they will go to you in prayer. And there's some folks here that's saying that people have told them there ain't no hope for you. I pray that they come to you, they get a second opinion, that they will turn their back to the wall, and that they will cry out, and they'll get real gutsy with you. Pray that we will go out into the highways and the byways. Now it's places under bridges and woods. And people trapped in a lot of different things. Lord, send us out into the crack houses. Protect us and keep us from the evil one. Folks are hurt. Send us out into the marriages that are hurting. Send us out into the schools. Help us teach the ladies and the young men what it means to model their search for ladies and men that are after your own heart. And not after superficial. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.